The calendar has changed to November. Halloween is behind us. Hunting season is underway. And speaking about hunting with you and with me on Party Line this morning is Dodge County Conservation Warden Ryan Manis. Ryan, a pleasure having you joining us on WBEV this morning.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me.
A little bit about yourself. What does Ryan's day look like? What are your job descriptions? What are you responsible for?
Yeah, so conservation wardens in Wisconsin are responsible for all law enforcement related to DNR law, hunting, fishing, trapping, wrecked vehicles, environmental calls. We're responsible for keeping people safe in the woods and field when people are out recreating. We also do parks work in the state parks here in Wisconsin, among a lot of other things, but in a nutshell, we're police officers for the state of Wisconsin and the natural resources world.
Is the job you have a dream come true? Was this something you decided early on that you wanted to become? A little bit about your road to becoming a conservation warden.
Yeah. The job is great. It's something I thought about when I was growing up and made that decision when I was in college. And one thing leads to another, and here we are. And I've been doing this job full time for about almost 8 years now.
When we talk about, you and I went over a number of different topics we might discuss today, and this is a general one, and I guess it's the best place to start if you're talking about deer hunting, which is the various zones in the state. You mentioned that there's been only one change, and that really relates to northern Wisconsin, but let's just get that out of the way. What's the biggest change law-wise that hunters should be aware of in 2026?
For 2025, as far as what we're entering in here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, no problem. 2025.
No problem. Yeah, there is a change of the deer management zones. It mostly affects the northern part of the state. Here in Dodge, in the southern part of the state, we won't see any changes as far as our deer management units. Essentially just changes the amount of antlerless tags or either increases or decreases. It's just the way that the DNR and wildlife management are managing the deer herd. So that's the biggest and only change that deer hunters are going to see here in 2025. If anyone is traveling to the northern part of the state to hunt, I would recommend just checking out the regulations and making sure that you know where you're at and you have the appropriate deer harvest authorizations.
Dodge County Conservation Warden Ryan Manis on Party Line with me. Not only is he an expert about safety and common violations, but also knows what year it is, as opposed to the WBEV host this morning. I know that one of the topics you wanted to discuss this morning had to do with safety. Are more people injured in the woods than they used to be? Are things safer? What are some of the main points that you want to point out to folks who may want to head out into the woods in the next month or so? How can we keep hunters as safe as possible?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've actually been pretty good in the last few years about hunting accidents during the 9-day gun deer season. We want to keep that trend positive for this coming year. So I'd always like to remind people about loaded firearms. You know, when we're hunting, we're obviously handling firearms. We want to be safe about it. Anytime a firearm enters a vehicle, and that includes ATVs and UTVs, goes on a vehicle or in a vehicle, it has to be unloaded. And that also includes all rounds ejected from the magazine, which some people get confused sometimes if they pull the one round out of the chamber and assume it's unloaded. Well, there's any live ammunition in that gun at all, it is considered a loaded firearm. So when you're in a vehicle, all those rifles have to be unloaded. Shotguns and rifles have to be unloaded completely. So that is a very good step in the right direction. We want to avoid any accidents as it relates to loaded firearms and vehicles.
How about blaze orange in general? I'm a hiker, so I'm out in the woods quite a bit and pay particular attention when it gets to be this time of year. Requirements, first of all, or suggestions when it comes to the clothing that people are wearing?
Absolutely. It is required for all hunters to wear blaze orange during an open gun deer season, and that requirement includes 50% blaze orange from the waist up, including the hat on your head. All hunters, excluding waterfowl hunters, are required. If you are just out hiking like yourself, it is not a requirement. However, I would strongly recommend anyone who's out walking their dog or riding a bike, especially recreating on any public hunting grounds, I would absolutely recommend wearing Blaze Orange because it does not hurt. It will only help hunters or the neighbors or anyone nearby to see you. Even if you aren't hunting, I would recommend it. But it is required for hunters to wear Blaze Orange 50% from the waist up. And that includes all gun deer seasons, not just the 9-day. That includes our muzzleloader season, our statewide antlerless hunt, and also our holiday hunt at the end of the year.
I wish I could have a recording of you, Ryan. I have a Blaze Orange wool cap that I wear, and people who know me go, Bob, you don't hunt. Why do you have a Blaze Orange cap? And you explained it perfectly. I'm just a hiker out in the woods. There's a phrase you used when we were prepping for this program, and that was discharging direction. I'm not a hunter. What does discharging direction mean?
Absolutely. Anyone who's taken our hunter safety program in the past knows our Tab K rules, and part of that rule is knowing your target and beyond. So when I talk about discharge direction, I want everyone to remember that when they pull the trigger, they are responsible for that bullet. If it damages property or, God forbid, worse, we are responsible for that. So if we're ever pulling the trigger on a deer, we always want to know what direction we're discharging, what's beyond that deer. What could that bullet possibly strike if it continues past the deer? So if we're ever hunting from an elevated position, shooting into the ground is always most beneficial and safest. But if we're on a deer drive or if we're on the ground and we discharge, that bullet can go for a very, very, very long ways. So we are responsible for that bullet, and we have to know the direction which we're firing so we don't end up hurting anyone or damaging property or, God forbid, worse.
Ryan, I never thought about the fact that if you're hunting from a blind, you're shooting downward, and I never thought about that safety aspect of that. I appreciate your being with us today.
Absolutely.
How about land? You talked about public hunting grounds. Many people hunt on private land. What are some of the issues involved? I'm guessing a lot of people who are planning to be out in the gun deer season have already lined up where they're going to be. But talking a little bit about permission and where hunters can and can't hunt.
Absolutely. Obviously, you can hunt your own private land. You can recreate on your land as much as you want, following all the DNR-related rules. If you cannot enter private property without permission, that falls under our trespass violation that the sheriff's office will be happy to enforce. But we cannot enter land. We cannot track a deer, retrieve a deer. If it is on the neighbor's property or on a private parcel, we have to get permission first. As far as our public lands go, they are just that. They are public. There's no limitation to how many hunters can be on that parcel. So I always remind people to be considerate and courtesy and treat people with courtesy. It can get a little bit of tight quarters, so not only does that increase our risk of possible accidents, but it can create some confrontation in the woods on the morning of opening day or on any other morning of the gun deer season. So I recommend that everyone be considerate of others and get along nicely, and then the warden, like myself, doesn't have to take those calls in the morning because there's a hunter dispute in the woods over who wants to hunt out of which tree. So always a good thing to be reminded of, Bob.
When it comes to, I mentioned I'm a hiker, not a hunter. I grew up in New Jersey, so there wasn't a whole lot of hunting going on when I grew up. But I'm sure a lot of young people today are brought up in a tradition of hunting in Wisconsin. I understand that. And they go out with their dads and their uncles. What about, where does hunter safety and where do hunter safety courses fit in? Is that a good idea? Is that a requirement? Let's talk about those hunter safety courses.
Yeah, absolutely. Almost everyone nowadays is going to be required to have a hunter safety certification. And that is a DNR-promoted class that people learn firearm safety, regulations, hunter, any other safety aspects of what we will encounter in the field. So absolutely, I would recommend getting involved if you don't already have the hunter safety course. We have another really cool program in the DNR. We call it a Munternship program that allows people, not just young people, but adults too, can buy hunting licenses without having taken the course. There's some rules that are associated. You have to just hunt with someone who has hunter safety and is licensed appropriately, but essentially introduces new folks to hunting activities without prior taking the hunter safety course. So if you would like to get involved, get on the DNR's website, just Google search Wisconsin DNR, and keyword search hunter safety. You can find all the hunter safety classes that are available. Or if you want more information on the mentorship licenses or programs, you can keyword search mentorship, and that will pop up as well. Also check out the Wisconsin DNR Regulations Handbook. That also outlines all the requirements for hunter safety. It also has all the rules associated with hunter safety and the mentorship program.
Mentorship sounds akin to like the learner's permit that teens get when they're driving.
Very similar, yeah, absolutely. Just have to be next to someone who is licensed and knows what they're doing and has the hunter safety course. Very similar to the driver's license, for sure.
Is it too late for someone to get in and complete a hunter safety course before the gun deer season? Is it too late to do that?
That is a really good question. And based on your location, I would say it's not impossible. Probably unlikely that there would be availability in any classes that are still scheduled to take place this month. So that might be something that you sign up now and get into a class later in the year or maybe in the spring or summertime. But as far as to get into a class before the end of the month, I would be very surprised.
Okay, gotcha. It's 17 minutes before 9 o'clock. Ryan, if you want to re-warm up a cup of coffee, I've got about a two-minute break that I need to take. Good point for me to also remind our listeners that if there is a question you would like me to ask Dodge County Conservation Warden Ryan Maness this morning on Party Line, the talk and text line is open to you. It's area code 920-887-9595. We'll be talking about violations, CWD, and a few other topics related to hunting with Ryan Maness when Party Line continues in just 2 minutes. The weather in brief today, a mix of clouds and sun. We could see a stray shower or two. Afternoon high temperature readings will be in the mid-40s. My guest on Party Line this morning is Ryan Maness. He's Dodge County Conservation Warden. Ryan, where do you work out of?
I work out of Horicon at the Education Center on Highway 28, just north of Horicon and between Horicon and Mayville.
And what is your area that you serve? How large an area do you cover in your wardening?
Yeah, so I cover the east side of Dodge, the way the lines are drawn. It's about two-thirds of the county I cover from about Highway A and east, approximately. The line kind of jogs around a little bit, but There's two of us here in the county. I cover the east, he covers the west.
Again, for our listening audience, if there's a question you'd like me to ask Ryan about hunting, please text it to me right now, 920-887-9595. What are some of the most common violations that you see that you deal with during hunting season?
It seems like every year that answer to the question will vary, but generally speaking, some of the more common violations that we encounter is licensing issues. So sometimes people might have just forgotten to get their license for the gun deer season and or bow season. Or maybe they didn't just claim their antlerless tags. If you are a member of the public that buys the patron's license or the sports license, if you bought that early on, you might not have received your antlerless tags. So just remember to go onto the website and claim those tags for where you're going to be hunting at. Another big, not a huge issue that we've actually gotten a lot better over the past few years, but every year we do encounter baiting violations. So here in Dodge County and for the better part of the south part of the state, we are not allowed to bait or feed deer in any way, shape, or form. So baiting includes but not limited to apples, corn, mineral blocks, salt licks, anything similar. I have lots of questions that come in when people are questioning what is bait or what is a scent. And the best answer I give to people is if the deer is consuming the product, it is a bait. If the deer is smelling the product, it is a scent. So if the manufacturer's intent is to feed the deer, for that deer to eat that product, it is a baiting material. It is illegal. Go ahead. Sorry, Bob.
No. And is baiting itself the violation, or is my taking an animal based on the baiting the violation?
That is a very good question. And the way state statute reads, it is all one of the same. Whether I place the bait, whether I hunted over the bait, whether I trained dogs over the bait, it is all one of the same. So it is the exact same statute, the exact same violation.
This was a question I was not thinking about, but I love talking with people who inspire new questions in my mind. What, when you talk about a violation, is it a $5 fine? Am I precluded from hunting for 5 years? Can I be sent to jail? What are the range? Give us some idea of the range of the punishments for these violations.
Sure, yeah. I'll be honest with you, Bob. The DNR citations are not the cheapest ones you'll see out there. They do get a little pricey, but they can vary anywhere from a couple hundred dollars to, depending on the severity of the crime, it could be very expensive and include jail time. So we have a wide range of different violations we enforce. So I would always just recommend people follow the rules, and you never will have to encounter anything similarly, but it's a wide range of dollar amounts or worse.
This is kind of a twofold, maybe even a broader than that question. It has to do with what does the Dodge County Warden do during hunting season? So are you out there walking in the woods looking for people to check or to looking for violations, or are you contacted by people and said, gee, there's a problem over here in the back 40 you should go look at? And then this holistic question is, if I am somebody who sees something which seems like a violation to me, can I quote unquote report it? So what does the warden do? How is that communication done? All of those related questions.
Excellent questions. I'm glad you brought it up. So on opening day of the gun deer season, it will look different for us. The possibilities are endless as far as what complaints might we have fielded prior to that we might be trying to work. I will guarantee that I will not make an effort to ruin someone's hunt if I don't have a reason to be there. I'm not just going to wander through the woods aimlessly just trying to find hunters, because that's not exactly fair. If I'm walking into a property, I'm usually there for a reason. If there's a complaint, we might be following up on complaints a lot of times. If a violation takes place in the field, we're rarely there to see it, so we might be talking to folks after the fact. We might also not even handle any deer hunting complaints. We might be, you know, waterfowl season is open. We might be looking at waterfowl hunters during that time as well. We're not solely focused on deer hunting during that time. We have other responsibilities, and certain things come up that have to be addressed. Did that answer your question? I feel like I missed one part.
No, I think the other question would be, if I am a citizen and I see something which askance to me, do I call the DNR? Do I call the local sheriff's department? Do I call 911? What's the best way for someone to report that?
Absolutely. As always, 911 is reserved for emergencies only, so don't report violations through 911. The DNR has a violation tip hotline that I would encourage everyone to call if you see something that is remotely questionable or suspicious. And I have that number here for you. I'll give it to you. It is 1-800-847-9367. Again, that's 1-800-847-9367. 847-9367. And that is our DNR tip hotline. It is 100% confidential and anonymous. Know that your name would never be used in the investigation, or it is also protected through state statute, through any open records requests or any court proceedings. That name or your information, the caller's information, would be 100% protected.
Does a lot of your work during the hunting season start with those kinds of complaints? Is that the inspiration for a lot of the things you do?
Yeah, prior to the opening weekend, there might be a stack of complaints that we have to sort through on that opening day or opening weekend or possibly into the week. Each season or each year usually varies as far as what the call volume looks like. If the call volume is low and we are just going to patrol, there are certain hotspot areas that I'll try to hit and make contact with people, check licenses, check deer, basically just interact with the public. In most cases, people are very welcoming and very and encourage being checked by a warden. So usually those interactions are always very positive. So that's usually what we'll be doing if we don't have any calls to run on, is we will be out either private lands or public lands, contacting hunting parties, stopping out at the hunting shack just to have a conversation with the local hunting groups. Usually very positive interactions with the public.
We have only in passing referenced CWD. Ryan, any thoughts, concerns, status of that here in Wisconsin, and specifically here in our area?
So we are a positive CWD county. So that means, and that's, if I haven't mentioned it before, is the CWD positive results kind of dictate our baiting law. So the reason why we don't have, we're not allowed to bait in our county in the southern part of the state is because of CWD. And a chronic wasting disease, for those of you that are listening that are not familiar, CWD is a neurological disease that affects deer and eventually will lead to death of the deer in almost all cases. And the way that deer spread this disease one to another is when they are bumping their tongues and noses together at a concentrated feeding or baiting site. So that's the reason why the DNR says no baiting in these counties where CWD is prevalent, and we're going to try to do our part to possibly or at least control the spread of CWD the best that we can. So that is how our baiting and CWD is related. It is very prevalent in the southern part of the state. If anyone ever wants to get a deer tested for CWD, you are more than welcome to do so. We have a CWD testing site here in Horicon, and that is on Palmatory Street at the top of the hill at the dead end. If you're familiar, we have a shop back there. We have a big cooler and a station there for CWD testing. I would always encourage people to get their deer tested no matter what.
We have just about a minute or so I haven't left you much time for this one. Is there an interaction that you've had over the years as a conservation warden where it was like the one interaction that you think of the most, whether it be really good, really bad? There's just an interesting interaction that you've had with a hunter or the landowner over the years that you always think of when someone asks you this question.
I would say that my mind would always go back to the positive interactions more so than the negative ones. And I always enjoy hearing people compliment the warden service on our work or thanking us for being out and about, thanking us for doing what you do. I think a lot of the people will encourage the wardens to check their licenses or encourage us to do our work on the landscape. Almost always are those interactions positive versus the negative. So I always enjoy those interactions. I always enjoy talking with people on the side, whether it's hunting related or not, or whether it's checking a license or just a casual conversation. Almost always are they positive, and I enjoy those interactions. And that's why I like to do this job. And we interact with people in the community on all different levels, and it's not always just an enforcement standpoint. It's usually very conversational and very, not personal, but on a personal level.
I know how you feel. I enjoy doing this program for the very same reason. I love the interaction. Thanks so much for being on WBEV with us this morning. And I hope you have a very safe and successful hunt here in Dodge County and in the environs.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That was Ryan Manis. He's Dodge County Conservation Warden. Happy to have him join us this morning talking about hunting on Party Line.